Welcome to the Whole Enchilada, a community of high achievers that fight the status quo, rebel against mediocrity, and make life happen. Let's go. Hey, Enchilada Nation, really excited to have you back with us today for another incredible conversation. Today, as our guest, we have Alicia Fickert out of the Northern California area, and I'm really excited about having this conversation. Alicia, you and I were introduced by a mutual acquaintance of ours, Patrick Woods, who actually has been a guest on the show as well, and is a lot of our listeners know that I just look up to him immensely. He's a coach, a friend, and a thought partner for me. So when he reached out to me and said, hey, I've got somebody that you need to meet, I remember you and I were able to connect via Zoom and chat through some things. And I was just overly impressed with you. So Alicia runs one of the top teams in real estate teams in her region and is also involved in a lot of other things. So I'm excited about having this conversation today. Alicia, what else should our listeners know about you, both on either a business side or a personal side, before we jump into our conversation today?
Okay. Well, I have two adorable kids, 4 and 8, and I have a husband that's also in real estate that joined 2 years ago, and I've been in real estate for 15 years. I hate to say it, but 15 years. And yeah, mother, wife, business owner, and I'm also, which we're going to talk about today, is a One Thing ambassador. If you don't know, the One Thing is a book that has been immensely changing people's lives. And Jay Papazan and Gary Keller wrote the book. And so it's a really, really awesome book.
It is. It is actually one of my favorite books of all time. And I think sometimes, just because I play in the Keller Williams world, I think people feel like I have some element of obligation to say it's one of my favorite books. And I tell people all the time, it's not because I'm affiliated with this company that I think this is one of the best books. I honestly think this is a book that all people should read. And it is not a real estate book per se.
100%. I agree with you. I think because I am a One Thing ambassador, people are like, oh, you have to say that. Like, no, they don't pay me to say that. Like, I don't have to say that. I believe in the book. So
yeah, it's pretty incredible. So for those of you that don't know, it's a national best-selling book. Not only is it a very well-known book sold worldwide, there's a whole podcast around it. And why don't we start by just like you giving an overall premise of what the book is about? Like what do we mean by the One Thing?
So it's really breaking it down to, I mean, this world is so crazy, and wanting to figure out like, what's your priority? What do you need to do? And it's breaking it down to the one thing you can do that would make everything easier or necessary. And in business, that could be a personal life. It really helps you. And there's a community, you guys, like around this, which really supports you. And so basically, I would just say it really breaks it down and helps you understand what your priorities are and how to get there, and then break it down even further, because everyone wants to go so big and do all these big dreams and big goals, which is awesome. And then we get lost and go, where do we even start?
Yeah, I love that you bring that up, because there's so many podcasts and shows and books and things like that encourage us all to think big, which I love. It's one of my favorite things that we finally caught up in a big way. I think a lot of times when our parents were growing their careers, it was almost like they were trying to be pushed into like, think smaller, like just focus on this, do this until you're 65. You'll have some retirement waiting for you. Like just stay in this lane. And over the last several years, I call it the Tony Robbins era. It's like, you can have anything, think huge, think big. And I think the thing I love about the book, The One Thing, it's come around and Gary says, to go big, think small, or go small, right? And so they are, even though they sound like they're totally opposite ideas, they're very intimately intertwined.
Oh, 100%. And you have to think big, because if you don't think big, if you can't visualize that, then you're not going to ever achieve that. So you have to think big. But the tricky part is, we think like, oh, well, I'll start here. You're really actually starting like way over here. You have to go so small. You have to like, and they talk about 1-inch domino. Like that's where you got to start. And it has to feel so easy that it feels like you're not even doing it right, because it comes so natural, because you have to build on it. It's habits.
Yeah, I love that. I tell people all the time that however you're showing up in life, the results you're having, all it is a summation of your current habits. if you don't love the results that are showing up, then it's just a matter of changing the combination of habits, which are you, right? Mm-hmm. And so that being said, let's kind of dig into this a little bit, because I think that as you know, with the Enchilada Nation, a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs, people that want to excel at the next level. And a lot of times we have no shortages of opportunities or choices in front of us. In fact, that's one of the biggest blessings of being in the world nowadays, but it's also one of the biggest curses, right? Because we have so many choices mm-hmm. to choose from that a lot of times we end up kind of choosing a lot of things or being paralyzed and choosing none. So from your perspective, like, how do you start the process of getting clarity on what is my one thing?
Well, I would say every industry is different. So you're going to have to really figure out, like, what's the top 20% that is for your business that's going to generate 80% of the results. So you have to need to figure that out, narrow that down. Once you figure out what those maybe handful ideas are, you need to start putting them in your calendar, actually time blocking time to spend doing those things. Because if you don't do them, or if you say that sounds great, I'm going to do them, and you show up to work and say, oh, I have until 5 o'clock today to do it. If you don't have it in your calendar, what's going to happen? Someone's going to walk through your door, say, do you have a minute? They're going to say, oh, that's this. Someone's going to say, hey, can you show a house? Whatever the thing is, or a boss walks in, you look up, it's 5 o'clock. So either A, you're working late and because you didn't get it done, or your boss is mad, or whatever the instant is. But you need to make sure that you have it time blocked and making sure you're doing it first, because life gets in the way all the time. And so if you do it first, then all the distractions will go away. Well, they'll still be there. They'll be knocking on your door, but if you time block it and that door is closed, then you can open it back up when you're ready.
Yeah, but I think you're right though, to some extent that some of them will still be lingering, but it's amazing mm-hmm. to me how many little fires that I see, but I don't give them the attention. And by the time I come back around to see how big that fire has grown, it's put itself out, or someone's put it out, where I'm like, oh, if I would have given that attention in that moment, it would have taken a huge chunk of my day. But by actually giving either someone on my team that has the responsibility to put that out, or actually just letting it burn itself out, it makes mm-hmm. me think how many times I've given time and energy to things that really didn't merit any of my energy in the end.
No, 100%. Or in the beginning. Yeah, you can have a seller be asking questions, and if you let it marinate sometimes just for an hour or two, you go back to it, they're like, oh, I found it, or it's not an emergency. Most of these are not emergencies. And if it's someone else's emergency, they're trying to make it your own. You need to have your boundaries. Like, that's the tricky part. Everyone's going to throw their emergencies on your plate. You don't need to pick them up. Like, you need to figure out which ones are your emergencies. And as a business owner, it's different. If you're working and you have a boss that throws an emergency at you, you need to say, okay, I was working on this. This is what was the top priority today. Do you want me to work on that? Or do you want me to work on this? It's just about getting clarity. Which one's more important? And pick it. Or have them pick.
Yep, I love that. And so, as you know, a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs across multiple industries, but both of you and I play in the real estate space. So mm-hmm. when you say you have to identify your one thing, your highest dollar productive activities, so in the real estate space, what are those highest, most important dollar productive activities that should be a focus of your priority time block?
So lead generation is going to be the number one thing. I mean, for any salesperson, you need to time block your lead generation, because if you don't do that, your business is going to suffer 3-4 months down the road. You know, doing script practice, writing contracts. The top priority is, if you have a team, it's going to be different for everyone. If you have a team, it's leading your team, making sure that you have certain time blocks that you're pouring into them. So identifying those and then putting it on your calendar, having a team huddle every week or every day at a certain time, having lead generation on there, and be realistic about it. Don't just say, I'm going to lead generate for 4 hours every day between this time. Like, I give myself a little buffer on Fridays. I schedule myself 1 hour short because I know one of them might get interrupted. So it's an easy replacement of changing that 1 to 2 hours. Whatever it is, you just need to plan, because life does happen and no one's perfect at this. Like, yes. Jeff Woods isn't perfect at this. So you really need to make sure that you give yourself grace. It's just making sure you live in your priority, live with your calendar, have a relationship with your goals, and making sure you do the right thing every day or be appropriate in the moment, like Gary says.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you just, the term you just use is having a relationship with your goals. I want to go a little bit deeper on that because I again, going back to what I call the Tony Robbins era, I think we've gotten a lot better as a world. And I set goals. And not only do I set goals, I write my goals down. But for most people, they write the goals down, but then they don't work it backwards to the activities it's going to take to achieve that. They either leave those in their journal and don't look at them again. So it's the same thing with if I want a great relationship with someone, I can't have one good interaction and expect that relationship to continue to flourish. So talk to me a little bit more about how do you create a relationship with your goals?
Well, I would say I wasn't good at it probably about 10 years ago. I've gotten a lot better focusing it, and the one thing has helped. So it's getting clarity on what I want my life to look at. I used to always write 1 year. And then I would pin it on my wall and look at it once in a while and not really like be actively engaged with it. And then I started doing, okay, what does my 3 or 5 year look like? Okay, I got to back it up. Okay, if this is my 3 year, then what do I have to do for my 1 year to hit my 3 year goal? Then it's, okay, this is my 1 year goal. Well, what do I have to do this month that will hit my 1 year? And then you would, again, what's the one thing I have to do this week to hit my 1 month? And then, you know, you just keep drilling it down, and it gets old, but you just keep drilling it down. But, and here's the other thing. I used to only do this for business, which I wish, you know, I didn't. I always had my, let me rephrase it. I always had my vacation list of all the places I wanted to visit because I love traveling, but I didn't have other goals. And so last year I set a goal of going on 36 dates with my husband. We always have a date night. Like we always have great intentions. I'm just going to use this because it's really easy. We have great intentions and it was working really well, but then life happens. And I kept going, how does this not keep happening? It was the pain point, and it was so small of just calling the babies. Or did you call? Oh, no, I didn't call you. Okay. I guess we're not having a date night this week.
Yeah.
It was finding a babysitter and just saying, we want you to show up every Wednesday at our house at 5:30. That was it. Last year we went on 43 dates. And we set our goal for 36, and it was awesome. Amazing. And could the babysitter come every week? No. Were we on vacation? Of course, we were on vacation. But we were intentional, and it's looking at our goals every single day. I work. I always look at my goals in the morning.
I love that. And I think that's I love that you pulled in a personal example of that, because a big part of the whole enchilada is how do we live a balanced life at a high level in every aspect. And there's so many wonderful business principles that make us better business people that are the exact same principles that help us achieve and enjoy life on a higher level. So I love that. And going back to the date night, because this is a big thing for my wife and I as well, is to make sure that we're really having a very purposeful date at least once a week. And it wasn't always that way. And I think in that example, and I'll use myself under this because I don't want to make any assumptions, but if we missed a date night historically before we were intentional about it, missing one date night wasn't necessarily like, oh, our marriage is doomed. But if you miss one and get out of the habit, the next time it's easier to miss. And then the next time, then all of a sudden over time, does that mean you're growing apart? Because now it's nothing catastrophic necessarily has happened, but just missing multiple date nights in a row, all of a sudden that conversation that happens there. It's the same, but when you get purposeful about it, you're building something over time. Going back to the idea of having a relationship with your goals. Have you read the book, Fierce Conversations, before? So one of my favorite things in there, talks about the quality of the relationship equals the quality of the conversation, right? And so if we're saying increase your relationship with your goals, how often are you actually having a conversation with or around your goals? If you want to increase that relationship, it's got to be something you're talking about, right?
Yeah. And the conversation has to be the relationship. Like they can't be separated. And I forget what book it was, but when the way you were just talking, I had someone say once, how'd your business fail? And he said slowly and then suddenly. Like it just, I think that's the saying. And then, because it happens, so it's those small little things that, oh, that's no big deal. Like, oh, I'm just going to have this cheesecake, or I'm not going to go for my run, or I'm not going to do this. And all of a sudden you look up and you're like, I haven't worked out. I gained 10 pounds or whatever it is. It's these small things, and you have to have a relationship. And so for me, I have it in multiple areas of my life with my kids, my husband, my business. And for me personally, I even have like me time in there and working out, because I wasn't taking care of myself. I was getting used to having a relationship with goals, with business. And then it was like, oh, I'm missing this whole aspect with my husband and myself and my kids. And you have to just add those and be consistent. If you're not consistent, then you're not going to have that relationship.
Yeah, I think that's so true. The consistency is key. And also, a lot of us are high achievers. I want to go back to something you said earlier of you have to give yourself grace, right? Mm-hmm. So it is about being consistent, but also giving yourself grace when you miss. Because if 10 days in a row you miss one, if you're going to beat yourself up around the one you miss, what about the 9 you should be celebrating that you did do? You're 90% of doing it. And I just think a lot of us high drivers, fast-paced people, we get so focused on the one out of 10 that we missed that it actually inhibits our ability to crush the next week of that same series of 10, because we're so focused and mad at ourselves on the one time we missed.
I think that's mindset. That comes back to our mindset. And it's called the gap focus. We focus so much on what we miss. We miss the actual beauty of, hey, we did 9. And we're so hard on ourselves. And I don't know if it was just, I don't ever remember people talking about this when I was younger, or my parents talking about this, but it seems like now everyone talks about this. Like, we're so hard on ourselves, and we're so, a lot of us that we hang out with in our industries, like, we're driven. We want to hit our goals. And if we got, I sold 94 properties and my goal was 100. Okay, I'm a loser. I didn't do this or whatever. We yeah, beat ourselves.
I can't even believe you.
I know. But if you told me that, Marcus, I would have been like, awesome job. Like, if you can't say that to yourself, but you can say it to someone else, like, you got to start loving yourself and have grace.
Yes. I think that's so true. Honestly, that's something that earlier on in my career, I was very, very hard on myself, which in some ways that served me well, because I was pushing myself so hard, but it actually got to a point of burnout where I was like so hard on myself that it was just like, at some point I almost felt like I couldn't do anymore. It helped me get to a certain point, but then it inhibited my next level of growth. I almost had to take a step back and slow down and be like, what are the things I love about myself? What are the things I love about business? I got to re-fall in love with this process before I was able to give myself permission to get to the next level.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced something like that?
100%. I'm like shaking my head over here going, yes, yes, because I have 100% been there. I even phrased it one time. I think I broke myself because I worked so hard I had a big why. And I was so focused on it. I couldn't see anything else. And I practically broke myself in real estate, and I had to like take a couple steps back because it just wasn't healthy. I mean, it has to be balanced, or constantly balancing it out.
Yeah. I love that you turned that into a verb there, because, or an action, like a process, because we say we want a balanced life. But that, if you say it that way, it's stagnant. It means that it is what it is in that moment where you say, I love that you corrected yourself of saying a balancing, right? Because it's that constant little bit of adjustment. And you don't need to do these huge swings of adjustments, which a lot of us do, but it's just this constant adjustment of like keeping that balanced. It's a balancing act. I love that. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we had said earlier, I think it was actually in our pre-conversation before we started recording, was a comment that you get often of people saying, well, I have multiple one things. How do you respond to that? Because I can so resonate with that, particularly where you have a lot of different businesses going on and things like that. It's easy to be like, well, that's only one of my one things. Like, how do you respond to that to somebody?
Well, that's the thing. Me too. Like, who doesn't have more than one thing? Like, that's the easiest response. However, that doesn't help. So we all have more than one thing. And it's putting on whatever hat you have, put that on and say, what's the one thing that I can do? Only you. Not like, I want to do, or I think I do, or someone else wants you to do. It's what's one thing I can do, and focus on that will get you to your 1-year goal, that will get you to your 3-year goal. And then if you are wearing multiple hats, at some point you can't wear and be successful if you're wearing 20 hats. You know, Gary says that you should have five people you talk to every day. You shouldn't have 20. So you really have to figure it out, because let's say Marcus, you have 10, okay, and you're overwhelmed. Are you juggling all 10 good? Probably not. Maybe your one thing is then finding the who that can take one of those off. And then it's there, then they own it and they have to figure out what their one thing is in the business. I can't tell anyone what to do. However, I can say we all have a million things. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a business owner. Like we have lots of hats. And what's the one thing? I'm here at work right now. What's the one thing that I have to do? Like, what's the one thing I can do and I will do that will make everything easier for my business and my team? It's lead generation. Like, that's the one thing. And then after that, you have to earn the right to go to the second. You'll have multiple ones. Don't get me wrong. I have listing appointments. Like, listing appointments are important. Of course it is. And you have to earn the right to keep going down the next. And when you get so overwhelmed, like sometimes I'll sit in my office and go, my assistant always knows, which is my sister. I'll be like, I don't know what to focus on. And then what I have to do is write out a list of everything I have to do, because you get overwhelmed. You can't focus on anything. The best thing to do is go for a walk, but nobody wants to go for a walk when they're overwhelmed because they have 30 things they have to do. So write out a list and then say, okay, what's the top 20% out of the list? Is it to go, you know, like print papers? No, it's not. Like, you need to go on that listing appointment and you need to put stars next to it and then prioritize them. What's the one thing? You've only picked one. Okay, if you've earned the right to do another one, what would be the next? And that should be your list to do for that day.
Yeah, I love the analogy you gave a minute ago of the 10 balls, right? If you're juggling those 10 balls, I think sometimes people get confused of saying, well, okay, well, I'll pick one and let all other nine just drop. That's not the game plan either. We know that there's a lot of important things that need to be done. It's just, are you giving the priority to the most important one?
Yeah.
And if a way to discover is if you're getting better at this, because it is a skill and a skill that needs to be honed about be able to identify that one thing. What you'll find is if you're juggling those 10 balls, you identify the one that needs your attention the most. You're going to really hone in on that one ball while keeping the other ones afloat. By the time you come back and reassess the balls, there may be eight. By doing that one really well, you may have purposely or without even considering it, eliminated one of those other things. It took care of itself by being so good at fixing the one. And if you continue to do that, all of a sudden you start coming up and it's actually a moment of freedom that you feel, because this new skill set does take energy, but there's that moment of freedom of saying, the better I get at prioritizing and executing on that priority, all of a sudden there's some element of freedom that shows up in my world where I can take more on. Where when you start the journey, it feels like there's no way I can absolutely think about taking anything else on a personal or a business level. Has that been your experience as you're working on honing this skill as well?
100%. And so many people feel, I've heard that they feel like, well, I feel like I'm in a box, or like I'm stuck with these things and I want to be more flexible. Or honestly, when you figure it out and you narrow it down and you do them, it gets easier because it becomes a habit. And then you're like, oh, I can do this. I'm in a flow. You get in that flow state. And so it comes natural. So then you do create more space and more time, which time is very valuable. And we all have the same amount of time, but we all don't use it. And Gary Keller says so often that many people cheat on this and they just work long hours. So really, you have to figure out what is your one thing. Keep doing it. Be consistent. Most people give up before they've been too consistent long enough to see those results. Like if anyone has done like a challenge, like the 66 day challenge or 75 hard, you'll know you don't see those results usually until day like 35. And most people gave up after a week going, I ate healthy, I did two exercises, I drank my water, now what? Yeah. Like nothing. And it's painful. You have to get over that hump.
I love that. Talk to me a little bit about, because I know you get the opportunity to work with a lot of people on your team and in your office and things like that. How important is it to publicly share your one thing or your priorities? Or do you feel like this is more of a personal journey or is this a team sport?
It would depend, I guess, if it was a personal thing. For me, I'm very open. However, I could see if it was something personal that maybe somebody didn't want to share, I would still say you need a coach or accountability partner, 100%. Like you need someone that's going to be there when you text them and say, I don't feel like doing another workout. I don't feel like making my calls or I'm struggling with this. You need other people in your world. And so I would say putting it public really does help and it will help you definitely succeed it. However, if it's something super personal, I can see people opting out of it. I did 75 hard and I had to post a picture every day and I was super self-conscious. I didn't love it. And I was like, oh, great. And at the end, it just became a habit. By day 75, day 76, it was weird. I was like, I'm not taking a picture. I'm not putting it. But it was my accountability. I'm like, I have to post it. I have to post it. So,
yeah, that's cool. I love that. Yeah, I think coaching is important and making sure that you're talking about that with your coach. And sometimes it takes there's been times in my life where I've worked back to what I thought was my one thing, but it took a third party perspective that was unemotionally attached to what I was doing to say, all right, well, it seems like you're almost there, but what if you had to take one step back further, what would it be, right? And it's, yeah. I do think it's important to have a coach. Another thing that I thought was interesting, I know you have people on your team and lead as well. I thought it was my job as a leader in an accountability session to have people tell me their one thing. What is your one thing that you're going to do today to move our organization forward? And one thing that I learned over time was it was important for me to share my one thing back with them. So it wasn't just me telling them, you're supposed to have a one thing, you're supposed to move the organization forward. But so for example, on Mondays, I have my accountability calls with my five direct reports. And when I meet with them and we're having this conversation, I'm very clear with them. Hey, from my perspective, this is the number one thing that I'm going to accomplish to help our organization move forward. And it's good because I'm now held accountable to them and they're seeing that I'm not just asking it of them, but they're willing to give it back, if that makes sense.
100%. Because you as a leader, you're leading. I mean, leader, you're leading them. Like you have to be the example. And if you just say, you need to have a one thing, you need to prioritize, you need to time block, but I'm not going to over here, they're not going to see the importance of it. So you're leading them and showing them that, hey, I'm also going to be held accountable. It's a two-way street. Like, I'm not just going to hold you accountable. I found that very important to always say, like, this is what I do. And if I miss it 1 week, I say, hey guys, like, I did not hit all hours of my lead gen last week. And this is what happened. And I just say it at the beginning, just full honesty, we all fall short and it's okay. It's just making sure we're getting back on and not just keep going, well, since I didn't make my lead generation calls yesterday, I just won't do it this whole week. So then I could just say, I didn't do it. At least give the effort, keep trying.
Yeah, and I think it's important to be vulnerable with your team for them to see that you're not always 100% successful, right? Because then it's like, oh, well, if Alicia misses once in a while and she's doing this, like I can give myself grace too, but also watching like when she does miss, how does she respond to it? She takes ownership of it. She's going to make up, close the gap. And I think that's a great, great teaching moment as well. So one of the things that we had mentioned earlier too, that I'd love to dig a little bit deeper into is obviously everybody's dealing with the chaos of the world right now. Of a really interesting market. Interest rates just went up, an impending war going on, supply chain demand. There's just so many things going on. And your specific market has another layer of adversity in it right now. Tell us a little bit about that, because I want to hear a little bit about that and then shift our conversation into like, how do we apply the one thing in a world of chaos and constant change?
Yeah. So in 2018, my hometown where I was born and raised, lived there my whole life up until, actually, luckily, I moved just 15 minutes. So I moved to Chico paradise was the campfire happened. And so 90% of the town was burned. And so that's every home I ever lived in, my family's homes. I think our families, between my husband and I, our family members, I think lost like 10 different homes. One standing, it was just pure chaotic, like overnight. I think the house prices went up 100,000 because we don't have, it's not like a big area where it has surrounding areas. We had Chico, and then you have like an hour and a half drive somewhere. So there's not a, there's a few small towns, but there's not a lot of big ones. So finding the one thing in that is definitely not easy. And mine was trying to find sanity for myself because it was a very emotional roller coaster ride for me, because every seller I knew and buyer that bought and sold, they all lost their homes, and it was they're crying, they needed a home. You couldn't even find a hotel. I mean, it was so bad. It really was. I was caring for everyone else. I wasn't putting the oxygen mask on, that I ended up taking a vacation. And when I say vacation, it was just, I had to leave the area, physically remove myself every month just for my mind to clear and breathe the ocean. I usually like, let's just drive to the ocean. And it might just be overnight or 3 days or something, but it was really just centering myself because I couldn't keep helping everyone. And it was so emotionally draining on top of everything else. So that was my one thing. And I don't know if I knew it in the moment, but if I didn't write it out, if that made sense, I just knew I kept saying, okay, I need a vacation that I see coming up in 3 or 4 weeks, just because it was emotionally draining. So
I can imagine. It looks
different every time.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting to me too, still with, you know, for those of us that didn't live that fire and that experience in that community, you know, we all saw it on the news and it was this big deal. And then for the rest of us, a week later, the world had moved on. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody the other day that was talking about how they're still dealing with environmental issues and things like that for the ability to build back some areas where, like, for the rest of us, we moved on a week later, and we, people in your community are still navigating it. It's so interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is I get the opportunity to meet with a lot of agents on a regular basis, and everybody has some element of my world's in chaos because of X, right? Now, some of them are silly, like I couldn't find a pair of matching socks this morning, and some of them are legit huge problems, right? But mm-hmm. but the point is I think something that we all have to come to embrace as entrepreneurs in today's world is the only constant we can count on moving forward is things are going to be changing around us on a regular basis. There's things we can count on consistency with ourselves, but we've got to build ourselves to be resilient to change and be able to flourish around change. So talk to me from your perspective, how this idea of and skill set around identifying your one thing and being able to prioritize, how important is that in an entrepreneurial world of constant change?
Okay, I'll try to tackle this. It is crazy. And I feel like every year I kind of find myself going, okay, I need to add this layer and this layer. Ever since the fire, I've added more and more layers of, and some people call it self-care or whatever you want to call it. But it's, for me, it's making sure that I'm centered so I can be the best mom, to be the best wife, business owner, team leader, whatever it is. Like, I make sure my mornings are really dialed in now. I've been working out. Sorry, I'm bouncing all over because I have all these different ideas.
Go, I like
work
it.
Out. Okay, so Orange Theory, I work out in the morning at like 4:30. I started doing that because there was no other time. It felt like there was no other time in my world that I can actually check out, take care of myself, work out. And now I'm reading in the morning. I'm writing. I don't know if you've... Some of the books I would say is like Miracle Morning is one of them, if you've ever read that one, or the 5 a.m. Club. That it's just setting your morning up the right way. and making sure that you have time for yourself. Because if you wake up at 7 or 8 o'clock, you're running out the door, you're already rushing, you're not centered. I find myself so much more at peace and be able to tackle. I feel like I can tackle so much more throughout the day and have more energy because I am writing and reading and sitting in silence, whatever that looks like, exercise and drinking a lot of water, just taking care of myself mentally and physically so that I can give my best self to my family, my husband, my work, you know, whatever it is. So for me, it's been creating really good habits around that. And I love James Clear. He's the author of Atomic Habits. And I think it's also one of my favorite books for creating habits. And so I would highly recommend that one as well. Yeah, I don't know if I answered your question. Hopefully.
No, you totally did. And I love that you started from that place of really being like taking the time and prioritizing staying centered and grounded. Because realistically, I think no matter how many great relationships and habits you have in your world, the one thing that each of us should be able to count on being constant is ourselves. And if we're not taking care of ourselves and giving ourselves self-love, self-care, self-priority, if we can't be constant for ourselves, who can we be constant for? And in a world of such constant movement and chaos, and particularly a lot of people around us that are not working on this skill set, and maybe not by choice, but maybe just by ignorance and not knowing that this is a path for them. It's what a beacon of light you probably are to all the people around you when they see you being constant and consistent and wanting to model that. I really love that. One of the things that came to mind to me as you were saying that is how important it is for us to make sure that we're identifying priorities and actions that we can control. Because one of the things that is a challenge for me is that so many people, the things that are paralyzing them or keeping them from actually taking action are things that absolutely have zero control over, right? Like for example, the one of the things that's happened several times this week is agents are calling me and saying, I don't know what we're going to do. Interest rates just went up the highest they've been in a long time. And my response to that is like, well, you have no power to change the interest rate today, but do you have the power to do something, right? Yet they want to sit and have this long, lengthy conversation around interest rates and why it's this horrible thing. But that's taking them away from actually doing any activity in growing their business. So do you see, as you kind of coach the people and work with people on their one thing, or do you see yourself getting caught up in that of this idea of getting focused and giving energy to things you can't control versus the things that you do?
I would say, I mean, emotions play in everything, and selling houses and buying houses, people are very emotional. I always say we see the good, the ugly, and the bad. We see it all, right?
Yeah.
And so I always try to bring people back just like you did and just say, okay, we can't control it. Just like we couldn't control the fire, but what we can control is where do you want to move to next? Like, how can I help you? It's really finding, well, that was the one thing is like finding you a house. Like that's the one thing I can do that. We can talk about the fire, but it's not going to do us any good. And we're all just going to be crying about it. Or we can sit down and say, okay, where do you want to live? What does that look like? Tell me a little more. I know I'm using that example, but using anything else as an example, people do get wrapped up in what's happening in the world, and it's easy to get sucked into that. And I actually isolate myself from the news a lot because I get drawn in. I don't want to get drawn in. I saw my dad watch news every single night when he came home, and he would get so mad at the news growing up. And I just thought if he just didn't watch the news, he wouldn't be upset and we could just go do something fun. So I would just, it's hard not to get wrapped up. I would focus and go back to, don't look at the interest rates. What can you bring value to your client? You know, the interest rates back in 2008 were 6.5%, you know, and in past years it was 12%. It was much higher. And we can't control it. So what can you control? You can control having the conversation with your client. Are you making them raise their emotions, or are you help elevating them? Like, making sure you have good conversations and just be a beacon for your clients. Don't get wrapped up in the emotions.
Yeah. I love that. It is so interesting how we let our emotions dictate our actions so much. And there obviously is a place for emotion, because that's where a lot of times where we connect, but mm-hmm. it shouldn't be the primary driver of our actions. So let's start wrapping up our conversation. I'd love to hear, we've got a captive audience right now of hundreds of entrepreneurs that are going to listen to this conversation. What advice or coaching would you give them in this moment to be able to be better at this skill of identifying their one thing in their world?
Read the book. I think that would really help. I'd also read Atomic Habits. I think that's also very helpful. He even breaks it down so small about just flossing, putting the floss on top of the toothbrush. So it really is like, if you want to have something a priority in your life, and you know it's going to be consistent and you're going to keep doing it, why not make it a habit? Why not challenge yourself and go, okay, for the next 66 days, I'm going to put floss on my toothbrush, so I know I'm going to floss my teeth before I brush my teeth. You know, like mm-hmm. if it's that important and you know it's going to be consistent, or it's something that you're dreading, like maybe you don't like lead generation, but you know you need to do it. Make it fun, figure out a way, but dive into it and be consistent. I just, consistency, I think, is the most important key here, is just being consistent. It gets easier over time.
Yeah, and get a coach, right? Yeah, I do love that, because all of us already have habits, right? Like in that circumstance, well, all of us, the majority of people in the world brush their teeth every day. So it's like, you already have mm-hmm. one habit. How do I, instead of just creating a completely new habit, how do I attach a new habit to an existing habit? It's mm-hmm. just an easier way to create that habit. So I love that advice. And yes, absolutely read the book. It's one of the books that I keep finding myself rereading the book, because the message is addicting and incredibly relevant. I would encourage everyone, based on this conversation, and I'm going to do this activity as well, to just take a few minutes after listening to this podcast. And I want you to think for a few minutes in 30 days from now, let's even say the end of April here in a couple of weeks. So 30 days out from now, if you could say, identify 2, 3, or 4 things that you would want to have accomplished over that time, and who you are, how are you showing up, and then get clarity on that, and then pull out your calendar right now and look at the activities you have planned over the next couple of weeks, and to ask yourself this question: is if someone told me they wanted to accomplish those things or be that person in 30 days, if I was reading their calendar and I saw these activities, would I bet on this person? Would I say, yep, these activities match up with what you told me you wanted to accomplish? And it surprises me how many times when I sit down with an entrepreneur or an agent that I'm coaching, and they tell me all these things they want to accomplish within a certain amount of time, and my immediate answer is, let's look at your calendar. And there's no activities on the calendar that match any of that. Even down to the self-care things and things you're talking about, or the date nights that we were talking about having on our calendars, is you can't count on those things happening and becoming that person if you're not even willing to commit enough to write it down in your calendar. That's just not going to happen. So that's my challenge to our group today. Alicia, you're incredible. Thank you so much for sharing some of your knowledge. Do you have any last thoughts you want to share with the group before we wrap up?
I would just say, if you're going to make that list, I want you to really narrow it down and go small. Like, please go small. If you have 1 month and you're going to name 4 things, make it so small that it's easy. Mine would be, before this, like, just call the babysitter and find out she can be here every Wednesday, and pick yes. something personal and business. So that's definitely my advice, because again, we overestimate what we can do in a month, a year, but we underestimate what we can do in 5. So it's just about being consistent, but go small.
Yeah. Beautifully said. And thanks for the clarification on that, because I'm in no way telling people to pick four massive things. It's, and I love the idea of pick a personal thing and a business thing of saying, let me watch this win. Let me create this win in my world right now. Beautiful. If anyone has questions or they want to follow up with you, is there a place for them to be able to follow you or reach out to you?
I'm on Facebook, Instagram. You can, my message, I don't know, email me, reach out anyway like that.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Look forward to continuing to build a relationship with you. Enchilada Nation, thanks so much for leaning into the conversation. Remember that life is constantly happening around us. And there's a lot of that energy that is going on that we do not control, but there's plenty that we do control. And not only by identifying your one thing and acting on that, are you going to change your life? You are going to continue to change the life of people around you, whether that's people that work with you, for you, or around you. So thank you again for plugging in. And don't forget, go live life on your terms.